Kof Hey in Shmuel, it says, Shmuel. So Shmuel died. From this point on, Gad HaChoza and Nathan HaNavi are the ones writing the Sefer. No one else is in charge. In other words, Shmuel HaNavi had stopped writing the Sefer, probably at the end of Perichov Dalet, but where does Gad appear? He's going to appear by David HaMelech. Okay, we've seen him already once before. He's the one that told David HaMelech to leave the land of Moab. So we're going to see them, but they ended up telling him to do this, or they wrote down the rest of it. He comes to call Yisrael v'Yisrael lo. All Bnei Yisrael gathered. They gave him a hesed by Yifaru b'Beisel b'Ramah. They buried him in his house by Ramah. By Yaakov David Yerod on Midbar Paran. David HaMelech got up, and he went down to Midbar Paran. Okay, so he got himself up afterwards. So clearly David HaMelech was at the funeral. Even though he was still afraid of Shlomo HaMelech, nonetheless, when it came to Shmuel and Avi's Kedula, he said, there's no way I'm not going to be there. No matter what happens, I'm going to make sure to be there. And he was there. He went with all of his men to Shmuel and Avi's funeral, but left immediately afterwards so he wouldn't be, punished. He died on the 28th of Iyar. He served Bnei Yisrael and was a shofet for 13 years altogether. Every single city mourned Shmuel in the same manner as he was mourned in his own town. He was buried either in Ramah, Shiloh, or Timnas. That's a big machlokes about that altogether. A lot of people go to him on his death. And here we go. It goes like this. Ramah was where he was. He went down at Givat Shaul, No, Yavus, that's Yerushalayim, Beis Lechem, all the way down. Next, he went down the wilderness of Paran. The wilderness of Paran is right around here. Okay, that's where it's supposed to be, around here. So, there we go. The Ish B'Ma'on, Maseo B'Karmel, there was a man who lived in Ma'on, yet his deeds, in other words, his business, was in the Carmel. We used to call the Ma'on. The man was very great. The Lotzon Shlosh Alafim V'Elav Ezen, he had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats, the Bigzozes son of a Carmel. He used to shear his sheep in the Carmel, and that's what he was used to doing. He was very well known for that. Sorry, just jack it off your chair. There you go. Thank you very much, David. So here we go. So that's the man that was over here. There's a lot of stuff about this guy. When we say that the man was great, sounds like he's a great man, right? Sounds like he's a tremendous guy. Now, there is no question that he had a prominent lineage. He was related to Khalid bin Yifuneh. He came directly from Khalid bin Yifuneh. In fact, he considered himself the best of all of the people of Yehuda and thought that if anyone's going to become king, it's going to be me. I'm going to be the next king. So when David HaMelech got up and pretty much said that he was a king, everybody, he got up, Neville said, and said, who is David HaMelech that he should become king? I am the greatest in all of Judah. That's what he said about himself. People say that when it says it's Ma'on in Carmel, whenever he was in Ma'on, he said, oh, I only give tzedakah in the Carmel. And when he's in Carmel, he says, oh, I only give tzedakah when I'm in Ma'on. He used it as an excuse to get out of giving tzedakah. Offhand, I don't know it, but I have no idea. No idea. But either way, because he regarded all other men as worthless, so too Neville died suddenly and in very big disgrace. He was stingy, very, very stingy. Did not give anything, even when he had tons of money, like by the shearings of the wool, where you think he had a ton of money available. Nonetheless, he did not do anything, and that was that. Here we go. His name was Neville. Neville means Neville. He was an abomination, an absolute abomination, but he was married to an awesome woman by the name of Abigail. Abigail was exceedingly beautiful. In fact, she is on the list of the four most beautiful women who have ever lived. Not so many people on that list. It's a pretty good list to be on. It's very impressive. Shema Ish Neville. Shema Ish to Abigail. Va'isha Toiva Seichel. She had very good Seichel. Yifas Tayar. She was very beautiful. Va'ish Kashav Rama. Alolam Hu Kilibo. What does it say? Kalibi? Kalibi? Kalibi. Kalibi. Thank you. He was hard-hearted, right? He's a harsh man. Very evil from his youth, from his deeds. And he was Kalibi, meaning he was from Kalib. That's one way. Others say he was like a dog, right? He acted like a dog, and he was a dog. He had a lot of taivas and everything like that. Others says he was like his heart, meaning he didn't fake being good on the outside while being bad on the inside. No, he was just as bad on the outside as he was on the inside. And that's what I meant. He was just like his heart. Yeah. At that. David heard in the desert. He goes to Neville's son, and then Neville was shearing his sheep. He sent 10 young lads, not even warriors, 10 young lads. Go to the Carmel. Come to Neville. Tell him in my name that you say hello. Okay? So people knew about Neville's abundant prosperity. He wanted to take advantage of it. And he said, you should say, may you always be living like this. You always have such riches. You should have peace. peace, shalom, and everything that is to you should be shalom. We say that in the Yitin on Motzei Shabbos. That's what we say over there. Some say that he had no intention of saying such words to Neville, right, who was an evil person. He knew was an evil person. Rather, it was Rosh Hashanah. It was Erev Rosh Hashanah on that day, and he was talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That day was supposed to be Erev Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so that's another thing that could be.
How you say that if
same thing with Yaakov and Esau. Yaakov's not really sending a message to Esau. He's talking about Kodesh Baruch Hu while sending a message which Esau could interpret as being toward him. The real message is toward Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Yeah. Why would David HaMelech say to God, Kolechi, and your house should be in peace,
and your Yitzhar should be in life? In other words, he was making a bracha that should apply for himself, so to speak, instead of saying it toward Nevel itself. He didn't speak it that definitely out, but he's saying sort of Klal Yisrael, may there be such life and prosperity and all these good things for all of Klal Yisrael. Atah Shemati. Now I have heard, he goes in Rechol Atah Arayim Asher Yishir Lecha Hayu Imanu. I heard that you're shearing, the time of the shearing is right now, okay? Now, those shepherds that you have, they were with us. Lo Achlamnum, we did not shame them. Lo Nitka Lamuuma, we did not take away anything from them. Kol Yimei Yosef HaKamel, when they were in the Carmel. Now, in other words, David HaMelech is saying, listen, it's very easy for people to take from shepherds in the middle of nowhere, right? There's no policemen, there's no guards or judges anywhere. So the fact is, not only did we harm them, not we didn't allow them to come to harm. We protected them the entire time, and we made sure that you did not lose one sheep, and we didn't take away anything you had. That's what he's trying to say. And if they needed anything, we gave it to them. We didn't have much, said David HaMelech, but if they needed food, we gave them. If they needed drink, we gave them. Sha'alos Narecha, why don't you ask your youths, the Agidulach, and they'll tell you exactly what it is. And may my children, my youths, or whatever it is, find favor in your eyes. Yom Tov Banu, Tana Nanu, Tana Na, Esher Nimsa Yodcholavadech, because on such a good day like this, and a Yom Tov, in other words, hinting to the fact that it's Rosh Hashanah tonight, maybe you could give what you have in your hands to your servants and to your son, to David HaMelech. In other words, he's trying to say, I know how close you are, Neville. I'd like you to give something over to me and, you know, give it over there. At least give Rachis a gaze. You have the first of the shearings of wool, which has to go to the Kohen. I have a Kohen among me. I have Avyasa. Remember, he was the one remaining from no Hira Kohanim. I have a Kohen you can give the Rachis a gaze to. Maybe you could give him over there. David HaMelech was saying, we need something for Yom Tov. You see how bad the situation was. Where Shlomo HaMelech had chased him out, he literally had no money and there was nothing for him to make Yom Tov with. He had a lot of people and he had nothing to be able to do. Yeah, what do you say?
By this point, he's no longer talking to Hashem, according to that.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Now it's a direct message over to... Yeah, that's for sure. There's no question about that. Another way of looking at it, some say it was Shavuos and not Rosh Hashanah. Either way, it was definitely a Yom Tov. And that's what he meant when he said Yom Tov. In Pasuk Tes, Ve'avo Nari David. So the Nari David came. Ve'idavro Neville called for him Ha'ilah B'Shem David Ba'yanuhu. So they spoke over to Neville all these words in the name of David HaMelech, right? And the reason why they did it is because Neville invited them in, but did not give them anything to eat, drink, or rest. They came in and he said, what do you guys want? And that's that. Neville didn't wait. He didn't allow them to relax. He didn't do anything. He just said, what do you guys want over here? So they immediately started speaking. That's that. When it says, Vayanuhu, and they rested, it's because they stopped speaking. Right? They saw that Neville was not listening to them. They saw that Neville was not going to answer in the affirmative. So they immediately stopped. And they said, that's that. Okay? They just stopped where it is, and they waited to see what would happen with this. Vayan Neville, Davi David. Neville answered the servants of David Yomer. By the way, notice, he said the servants of David. David called them Ne'arim because he considered them as equals. Granted, they're not, you know, they're not on the level of David Melch, but nonetheless, they're Ne'arim, it's nothing else. Neville considered them Avad. Okay, he considered them slaves. I didn't consider them anything more cautious than that. They were me, David, Umi ben Yishai. Who is David and who is the son of Yishai? Hayom Rabu Avadim Yisportim. Nowadays, there are many servants that are breaking their bonds, Ish Mitnei Adonav, breaking away from their masters, referring to the fact that David Melch broke away from Shaul HaMelech. That's what he's trying to say over here. Now, it's possible that he was casting some type of an evil eye on the fact that he had heard that Shmuel HaNavi had anointed David HaMelech and saying, who is Shmuel to be able to do such a thing? Lots of kids do crazy things nowadays. Shmuel HaNavi had no right to anoint you, David, over anyone else in Yehuda. Because again, he felt that he should have been king, and he was the guy who should have been that way. So literally, he thought about David Melch, that David Melch is this punk who got up there and tried to take away the kingdom from him, and he said, how could this possibly be? That's the idea behind it, and that's the idea. What?
How old is he?
We don't know.
Like he's talking as if people are
talking down to a little kid.
Yeah. Like,
he probably was old, I have no doubt about that. He probably was old.
Like 200.
Nonetheless. No. He had died. And there's no question there was a reverence for Shmuel, but Neville showed that he held him in contempt. He never would have said so during his lifetime. He probably respected him tremendously during his lifetime. When people pass away, that's when some people start to think, they start looking askance at other people. Exactly. They're willing to say things that they wouldn't have said otherwise. That's the idea. It could be that he was saying something simple as well. That it wasn't as bad as I'm making it out to seem. That what I was saying is like, listen, I'm worried about death. Achimelech helped you, and look what happened to him and his entire city. If I help you, what's going to happen to me? It could be Neville was trying to say that. That could very well be, right? But it seems he's saying it in a more of a harsher term, tone. Should I take my bread and my water and all my slaughterings that I have slaughtered for my shearers, and I should give it to men that I don't know where they come from? So the answer is yes. I mean, when it comes to poor people, that is the definition of giving tzedakah. So it's a strange line over here, but clearly he was trying to say, right, that my wealth doesn't even go to my family. I give it to the shearers only. My wife and my kids don't get the good stuff, right? That goes only to those people over there. I should give other people who are not my family and not my shearers. How could that be? Vayahapu, nari David ledarkam. So David's Jews didn't even bother answering him. They just turned around and walked away. Vayashuva, vayavov, yagidu lo kechol ad bnei Eila. They came back. They returned. They came back. And they told David Melech everything that had happened. They literally turned their backs on Neville, saying, all right, dude, this is not the right thing to do. I said it again. Okay, here we go. David said to his men, Chigu Ishes Karbo, everybody put on a sword. Gird a sword on your loins. Yaku Ishes Karbo, Yakor Gam David is Karbo, and David also put on his sword. By Elu Akre David Karbo, Yosisha, about 400 men went after David, Umasim Yashua Ala Kalim. 200 men sat down by the Kalim and would not go. Now, here's what happened over here. And although it sounds like he just immediately said, all right, let's go up and let's go to war, when it refers to war over here, it's referring to the Mahamta Shelter. He sat down and convened a Sanhedrin. He gathered together a group of people and he said, guys, we now have to judge. I am a Melech, said David Melech. And unlike Shaul Melech, remember in the beginning of Shaul Melech's kingdom, where not everyone accepted him, and people said things, and Shaul said, let them be. We have to be humble, and we won't do anything whatsoever. David Melech didn't want to be that way. In his kingdom, if somebody's going to rebel against him, and it's not Shaul Melech, if anybody else wants to rebel against him and say something like this, they're going to die. Because that's Morid B'Malchus. But he has to sit down and face him. So he told everybody to gird your swords. What that meant was, give up your tshuvas. Say something. Tell me why we should or shouldn't kill him. So people went on both sides. Some people said this, some people said that. And the halacha is, in a Beis Din, the Av Beis Din speaks up last. The Av Beis Din was David Melech. And that's why it says, after everybody girded their swords, Vayachor Gam David Iskarbo. He got up and had the final say. Paskin lahalacha, that he was Morid B'Malchus over here. And thus, he said, it's time to go ahead and kill him, and that's the idea behind what he was trying to do. Yes.
Like, after David's, like, his anointment as king, like, shouldn't it have been, like, known? Like, shouldn't there be, Hashem should have done some sort of meet, like, where everybody knew that David Melech was.
If Shaul Melech wasn't already king, yes, 1,000%. But unfortunately, because Shaul Melech was king, that was not done, so as not to knock down Shaul Melech. They didn't want that to happen. Some zealous person would get up there and be like, I'll take care of Shaul for you and kill Shaul. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want. So therefore, it was not publicized, although people definitely did know about it. Yeah.
We don't know the exact timetable, but he's seemingly going to go to war on Yom Kippur.
Yeah, on Rosh Hashanah itself, in order to fight on Rosh Hashanah, because it's the night of Rosh Hashanah itself. We're going to speak about that a little bit. We're going to speak about that a little bit. There's no problem in theory of getting around. It could be he was going to surround the house. It could be he was also trying to take stuff. It could also be possible. people. He was literally starving with his men.
Yeah, but this could have been pushed off. He didn't have to do it right away. He could have waited for Rosh Hashanah and then go take it.
Yeah, that's definitely possible. Let's see what ends up happening, because I think we do answer this question. I just forgot where. But Abigail, Isha's novel, he gets... Oh, you know what? That's what Abigail tells David about. You don't have to do it on Rosh Hashanah. That was the line that she said to him. He was so angry, he went around. Maybe even the beast didn't pass him that they should. And Abigail said, not a good idea on Yom Kippur. They said, like, but we passed him. She said, it's still not a good idea on Yom Kippur. She had seichel. She said it the right way.
They're traveling around.
You're right. Normally, we have a concept. But remember, we don't worry about tchumen on Yom Kippur like we do by other things. Meaning, tchumen areas are not such a big deal when it comes to stuff like this.
You can mount your donkey or your horse and Yom Kippur and ride around.
If there's a durabunin against it. Nowadays, there's a durabunin because you'll come to take off the staff. But back in the day, no, there might not have been a problem. Also, I don't know if they mounted horses. We never see horses when it comes to war. So that's possible. It's possible there wasn't there. Robbie Guile.
Yeah, they do. Who said about the sword being like
Sanhedrin?
Liam
Louis Grosso.
Yeah, Louis Grosso.
Right. That's good. What?
Patasim Alpha Kamora. That's further.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely possible they were there, but in other words, you don't fight on war, on, you know, the horses or stuff like that. Maybe they use them for carrying. But Abigail is just novel. He did not recall me an Aram Lamor. A wise youth from one of the youths got up and told Abigail, the wife of David, in a shallow David Malachim, Midbor the Varakas of the Nineveh Yod Bahem. David had sent messengers from the desert to bless our master, but he yelled at them. He kicked them out. The word Vayat really is Vayivat, and Be'ita. He kicked them out completely. So Anashim told him, you should know that the men were very good to us. They did not shame us. They did not make us lose anything. We tell them all the days that we were with them. In other words, you think it would be normal that if they were watching over us and taking care of us, they would ask for something. They did not ask for a thing while they were taking care of us the entire time in the Midbar. And that's a very, very important part. Right? That's the idea behind it. Normally, shepherds are invalid as aidim. You can't use a shepherd as an aid. And the reason why a shepherd cannot be used as an aid is because they normally let their sheep graze in other people's property, so they're ganavim. They were saying, we are kosher aidim because David wouldn't allow us to eat in other people's property. So therefore, you can trust us with what we're saying over here. They were a wall for us. By night and by day, all the time we were with them, herding the sheep, and that's that. We were always being aid. We were always guarding ourselves and everything like that. So David's men were totally tzaddikim, and that's that. That's what the iri matati. You know and you see what you have to do. Because the evil is now upon our master, Al-Kol Bezor, and all of his house. He was a wicked man who cannot be spoken to. The servants knew. They said, we can't talk to your husband. So you know what to do over here. But tomorrow, Abigail. So Abigail went quickly. She took 200 things of bread, and 2 flasks of wine,
Yeah, but why does her name change?
That I don't know. I don't think there's an actual answer for that. Do you have anything on the bottom that says it?
I just noticed. I'm going to look. You can continue.
Okay, if you see it, it definitely tell me. 2 flasks of wine. 5 full sheep. That's not bad, right? This is lamb chops. Is pretty good. 5 sa'az of roasted grains. 100 raisins. 200 fig cakes. Why don't you put them on top of the donkeys? Yeah, that's not the war. What?
She cut the raisins.
I don't think they were raisins the way we have them. I think they were like huge, like dried up apples or dried up whatever it was. I think they were, like raisins does not have to be raisins and grapes.
It could be the whole
big
thing.
It could be the cluster also, like clusters of raisins. That could very well be. Nobody says it. All right, Vatomer Lenel Rav, she said to her servants, Ibru Lepanai, go in front of me. Hinani Akarecham Ba, I'm going to come after you. Isha Navol Loigida, she did not say a thing to her husband, Navol. Very similar to what Yaakovina did in last week's Parsha, right? By Isha Yaakov Malachim that he sent it out and sent over the messenger and said, tell him that I'm behind.
It's hard to imagine changes her name.
Yeah, there's probably a reason for it, but we're not going to know it. But you wrote Chavizal Lachamor, she was riding on the donkey, your reddish estates are a whore. She was going down this other side of the the mountain. Vine Dovra Nasher Yordan Lakrasa. So Dovra and his men were going down to greet her, but Tifkosh Osam, right? They were opposite her, and she met them right in the middle. She was going down one mountain, they were coming down another mountain. They met right in the middle, right in between, all together over here. Now, there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens over here. Abigail, when it says that she came down the mountain, the Gemara says that she revealed a bit of her leg. And if she revealed a bit of her leg, I'm sorry? Well, offhand, I don't remember. I thought it was Sanhedrin, but it could be something. Could very well be possible. Very well be possible. But her beauty was so great that a light came shining forth from her leg and hit David HaMelech in the eye. Meaning, her beauty was so tremendous that she saw it and she was so impressed by it. She was just floored by how far this beauty went and how it went all the way out there. It is crazy, absolutely crazy. On that day, David HaMelech was there. Some say that he traveled after her for 12 miles altogether. Nonetheless, David HaMelech remained righteous and pure and did not do anything to Abigail, even though he was turned on by her, right? And she had allowed him to see something which he shouldn't have said. Okay, that is that. During the conversation, right, we're going to see later on, there's interesting stuff that's going to happen where David HaMelech said to her, "Be together with me. Leave your husband right now and be together with me." Which she said, "Do not allow this to be a problem, as we'll see later on." And she convinces him, "My husband is going to die soon anyway." Abigail was a prophetess, and she saw that Rosh Hashanah, his din, was going to be made, and Yom Kippur would be sealed, and he would die on Yom Kippur. Neville was going to die in Yom Kippur. So that's that. The reason why David HaMelech thought it was okay to be able to marry him is because he had already taught him that he was married by Malchus, which means he was Chayiv Misa. Somebody who's Chayiv Misa, you're allowed to marry their wife. Where do we learn that from? Not Uriah, but... because he slept with Bathsheba beforehand, right? But the person who was Chayiv Misa would have been David HaMelech in the eyes of Shaul. So Shaul took David's wife and gave it over to Paul in life, thinking it was Mutter, because it says if David was already dead. Amazing.
No, but he had a different reason to do that. His reason was
because the Orla was?
No. He threatened, Michal said that he threatened her.
Right. That is true, but it's not a halakhic napkin. I mean, even if the husband threatened her, that's not enough to break off the marriage. Here, the reason why he was able to break off the marriage, or what he thought he was able to do, was because, right, he had a good reason. He said he's already dead, and therefore it's there.
Like he's a man walking.
Yeah, there's a psak from Doi Goadomi. We don't paskin this way, by the way.
We don't, no.
We don't paskin it, but that is a psak from Doi Goadomi. What is it for naught that it watched all this guy's stuff in the desert?
It's lucky we don't pass in that way.
What?
I understand. If David is trying to use that as a raya to make it okay,
yeah,
then he's over on himself earlier.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You're correct on that one.
You can't contradict 100%.
He didn't lose anything. And now he's given me bad instead of good. David HaMelech was saying that over to his use. He did not say that directly to Abigail. He was so angry, he was talking to the use as they were going by there. May God do this to the enemies of David. Behold, you'll even do even more. If I leave alive all of his people, even a single man. Now, he said in a very clear tone that it did not mean that I am going to kill them. He didn't say, if I don't kill them. Rather, he said, if there is anybody that's alive. And the fact is, at the end of the day, they did remain alive. So he said it in such a way where the neder would not be chal, because he knew that the power of speech of a tzaddik has the ability to come true. So therefore he would not say anything, even in such a conditional way, about anyone else, and he would not do that. There's a lot of different things of what Mashkin Bekir is, but okay, it doesn't make that much of a difference. Okay, that's that. Now, Abigail saw David HaMelech, but she quickly got down off her donkey. She got down in front of her face on to David HaMelech, and she bowed down to the ground. And she fell down by his feet. Please, I, my master, or my very master, the sin is with me, my master. Let your handmaid speak in your ears, and you should hear the words of your handmaid. In other words, Abigail said, it's all my fault. My husband's an idiot. I should have been involved from the first place. I should not have allowed him to speak to the Naharim that you sent. I should have been there. And therefore, it's my fault, she said. Don't worry about everybody else, because it's my fault and I'm the one who did it. By the way, the fact that she said such things, Chazal darshan from this, that she spoke with immodesty, which is why her child did not end up becoming the king. Because she spoke with that immodesty of saying,
well,
that I'm the one who's at fault, because I should have gone out and met your youths. That's an immodest thing for her to have said at that time. She should not have blamed it on herself. She should have said, we'll work on it right now. Because she said it in that form and she said it in that way, she was thus punished. Crazy, isn't it? And they're talking about one of the greatest people of all time in an Avia. We'll talk about that. Yeah.
She had a right to take all this food and give it to David and all this stuff.
Good question. Solid question. Give me a second of that also. Alma Yasima Dunia Slevo Ishapali Alazat. Do not put your heart upon this evil man. Al Novel, on my husband Novel. Kikishmo Kane who? Like his name, that's what he is. Novel Shmo Nevolahimo. His name is Novel and he does abominations. You gotta love that, don't you? I mean, you gotta absolutely love it. Vania Musko Lorihisias Naria Dunia Shoshwata. I, your handmaid, did not see the people that the Nari Adoni that you had sent over there. The reason why she called them Belial is because somebody does not give tzedakah, he's as if he's Ovid Avodah Zarah. And since Nabal wouldn't give tzedakah, therefore this was the punishment that was going to be over there, and that's like that. Okay. Now, my master, by the life of God, by the life of your soul, he has refrained you from allowing blood to happen on this day. He has pulled your hand back now. That's how you can Nabal or Ibeka. May all of your enemies be like Nabal. Unbelievable, right? Now, my Vakshim Alatuni Ron, anybody who thinks badly about my master, may them all be killed. That's what she said over here. What she had said was that, thank God you didn't kill them on Rosh Hashanah. That's fine that you said before, David. How could they do this on Rosh Hashanah itself? They passed in that it was mutter because of Morid v'Malchus. They didn't want to delay it all. Morid v'Malchus, you're allowed to kill even on Shabbos or Yom Tov. If you need to do so, you do so. That was the psak. But you don't. And that's what Abigail told them. But you don't. That's exactly the line over here. Ein Hakanami, you could, but wait, because the Kaddish Baruch will take care of it for you. And that's what she was trying to tell him. Yeah.
Is that why they would use swords as the mantra for the Sanhedrin? Because they're thinking more like Esav than...
Ooh, good call over there. The swords are representative of Esav. That's good. Very, very good. I like that a lot. Kav Zayin. That's all bracha zosa shehivi shekosol adoni. And now, this bracha, this offering, really, that your maidservant has brought in front of my master, it should be given to the youths who go before a master. In other words, she's saying, David, you don't need this. And I know you don't need the gifts. Let the gifts go toward your na'arim. So you don't have to accept it. You don't have to accept it. But I'm giving it toward your youths because I know they're hungry and I know they want food. Listen, they should at least get this. Please forgive the sins of your maidservant. God should make for my master a house of everlasting. Because you fight the wars of God. And you have never seen evil in your days. You know what Chazal learned from over here? David HaMelech never saw a bad dream in his life. Gemara and Brachos. They learned from this pasuk that he never saw a bad dream in his life. Even though the Gemara says that good people don't see good dreams, nonetheless, David HaMelech never saw any bad dreams in his entire life. Yes, David.
After this point, or even before this point?
Before and after.
I find that hard to believe.
Crazy, isn't it? Maybe it means that every dream that he saw somehow was translated for good and he understood it for good, but not even bad dreams were given over to David HaMelech. That's the idea behind it. Crazy. But that's something like that. She apologized. And what she really was doing is, she said, listen, I know I'm supposed to be Roy to marry David HaMelech. And that's what she said. I know I'm supposed to marry.
She doesn't have any kids from David HaMelech?
Not that I know of, or not that we know of. But she said, in order to be there, I have to be on a much higher level. She's trying to raise herself up. Trying to give brachos and trying to bring herself to a different level. Very, very good. By doing
but
so, and that's
that. I'm
sorry?
So why was that immodest?
Nonetheless, the fact that she said that line in the beginning, that I should have done it, not Nabal, was an improper thing for a woman of that time to say.
What was the proper thing to say?
Not blame anyone. Just say, forget about it. It's not worth it. That's all she had to say. She had a nebuah. My husband is going to die in 10 days. Keep it like that
maybe
and leave it at
bad.
That. That's
maybe that. She felt bad like that she really could have done something.
I mean, that might be true. Nonetheless, you don't have to say that. You definitely don't have to say it out loud in front of everybody else.
I don't know. I gotta find, that seems like there's more to what she did wrong than just the
I would assume so. There might have been something else there. You are correct in that. I agree with that. A man came up to chase you out. That's natural, and to get your soul. You all know that one, that line over there. The nefesh of my master will be bound in the bundle of life. That's what we say by a funeral. You've seen the letters Tin Saba, Taf Nun Sadi Beze, Tehei Nafsho Tzrura B'Tzrur Ha'eden, or B'Tzrur Ha'chayim. That's what they end up having. That's the idea. You'll see Tin Saba at many different graves. You'll see those letters over there. Either way, as Hashem Elokech B'Tznafsho Yidach Yikalen B'Tzol Kaf Ha'kela, may the soul of your enemies let it be cast into Kaf Ha'kela. We all know what Kaf Ha'kela is. Kaf Ha'kola. Kaf Ha'kola?
No,
No, that's a muscle.
I'm not so sure I know what you're talking about. No. Under the koa? I don't believe so. Not since of all. Not this. No, it's not supposed to be that. Kaf Ha'kola is a very, very interesting line. There's a lot of crazy stuff about Kaf Ha'kola. Kaf Ha'kola is the in-between stage where if you don't really deserve Gan Eden, but nonetheless you don't really deserve Gehenim either, so you're sort of like slingshotted in the middle from one side to the other, and you're never in either place. You see everything, but nothing at the same time.
It sounds more like a punishment.
It's purgatory, so to speak. It's where you're not giving Gehenim, but you're not giving Gehenim either. Yeah, you don't even deserve to have Gehenim to, you know, burn off the different parts. All right, that is bad, but it is pretty crazy. There we go. Lamed. When God does to my master everything that he spoke about, all this good upon you, and makes you the king over Israel, do not allow this to be for you a problem. In other words, the fact that you have a desire for me right now and that you want to sleep with me. Do not do that right now, because in 10 days I'll be able to marry you. So wait on this. And to be a stumbling block, lave ladoni, for the heart for my master. What? And to spill blood for no reason, and to save and that which my master was able to save for himself. My master should have good from Hashem, and remember your handmaid. Which we're saying is, keep me in mind, because when my husband dies, I'm going to be single, and I'd like to marry you. Which again was a little bit too direct.
Forward.
Did not have to say it in that way. That's the obvious idea over here. That is the idea behind it. By the way, what she was saying, lote zos lachalapuka, don't allow this to be a problem, an obstacle for you. But you know what will be an obstacle for you? Batsheva. There's going to be another time where there will be another wife later on, where there will be something improper, and that was another nevuah. What do you got?
No. It's too big of a stretch. And Abigail's warning her.
It's a Gemara. Lotia zos lechol apuka. This should not be for you a puka, but it should be something later on. There will be a problem later on. This, however, should not be your problem. Crazy, isn't it? She's a Nevi'o. What's your problem? A Nevi'o knows everything. They know all. Yomer David Abigail is in Lamed Gif, Lamed Beis. David said to Abigail, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Shoshokich Hayom Hazeh that sent you today, request you to come greet me. Baruch Tameich Uvrucha At. Blessed is your reasoning. And blessed are you, right? That you have stopped me today from causing blood to be spilled, right? And you have saved my hand over here. Oh, good stuff over here. Over here, you notice, by the way, that the Yud is missing from Avigail's name?
Sure.
Because she flirted with David HaMelech while being in a married woman over here. It says if she had transgressed the Yud, yes, Sarah said Vigros.
Oh.
The Yud was taken out of her name. Others say that at that moment,
why the jealousy one? Why not the
jealousy? Please. She said she flirted
like
with David HaMelech.
The tenth one.
No. All ten. Okay, all ten. Also, at that moment, because Abigail was so scared, she had gone into Nida. right? So she brought her needle plug to David Melech, who was able to see these things, although I don't know how you were able to see it at night. It's kind of also to be able to see at night. But he's able to say, Baruch Hashem, and that you are blessed. Mi bo bedamin was the rye over here, and that he was able to say, you're mutter to your husband, even though her husband is going to die in 10 days. Rulam Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael, by the life of God, the God of Israel, Shemanani of Ne'ara Isaf, who has refrained you from doing evil to you, Kilule Meharts Petavos of the Krofi, had you not come quickly to greet me, Kim No Silvanabo at Ora Bokamash Makir, I would not have left for David Melech anybody, even somebody who's going to the bathroom on the wall. Everybody would have been gone. But he got David Yadu at Sashari Bia Lo, right? He took, David Melech took from her that which she brought him, the law Omar Ali Lashom, and then he said to her, go up in peace, with a seich to your house. See, I have listened to your voice, and I have granted your request itself. David Melech was willing to take the gift directly from her, even though normally you don't take gifts from a woman, because either, number one, the offering was not really that large. You can't take a large offering from a woman, but this wasn't so large, and that's that. Number two, Neville owed the money anyway. All she was doing was giving the money that Neville owed, and therefore was
money. Neville owe money. You can't do something like the mafia, like, I'm going to do this for you, and you're going to pay me for it.
It's an interesting call. The seventh paragraph of Bava Metzia has this case. It's called Yored Lenechsei Chavero. If I do something for my friend, to which I save his sheep, or I do something for him, I definitely can ask for payment. I cannot ask for the full amount of payment that I'm going to get, but I can be paid for my the bottles man, my bittles man that I spent watching over your stuff. If they needed it, which they did, said David HaMelech, and we did it, therefore we did have a legitimate time of taina to ask for money to be able to get something from them. So yes, it was a legitimate claim over here. Lamed Vav. But Tov Avigal Novel. Now Avigal came back to Novel. He had a mishta bebeso. There was a feast in his house. Kimishta HaMelech, like a feast of the king. Now Kimishta HaMelech was because it was the night of. Or Shalev Novel Tov Alav, the heart of Novel. He was drunk as a loon. Who Shikarad Maod. And the Loi Gidalo Dover Katan with Gadlad or Avoker should not tell him anything small or big until the next morning. Laiva Avoker in the morning, but Tesei Yaini Novel, and Novel had gone away from the wine. Batagin Lo Ishto is in front of Ela. His wife told him all these things. By Yamas Libo Bikirbo, his heart died within him. Buliyala Heaven. He became like a stone. He literally had no, he was so frightened, realizing that he could have died the night before. He turned into stone. By Yikastar Sayyaman, in 10 days, and Yom Kippur, by Yikov Shemes Novel, by Yamos, God plagued Novel. He immediately turned sick during those days. He died after 10 days. Some say that Novel was recompensed, that he got his punishment in this world, and he didn't get punished in Olam Haba. He spent 10 days sick, so that at the end of 10 days, and after Yom Kippur was over, he was able to do tshuva during those 10 days, and then eventually go into Olam Haba. Now, because this happened right after Shmuel and Avi died, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want Novel to die immediately, so that the days of mourning for Shmuel would not mix in with the days of mourning for Novel. He didn't want that to happen. Novel was not such a good person.
No, but
that's
the point.
In theory, but nonetheless, we're calling him a medieval. Yeah, we're calling him disgusting and abominable.
I'm saying to the outside person, it would seem like a loss to the community.
Maybe. That's possible, although he didn't give it up. Aishma David Kim is Novel. David heard that David Novel had died. Baruch Hashem. Well, blessed is God. Asher Rav is Riv Karpazi, who fought my disgrace. Me a Novel that's Abdul Chosaf Me'ra'ah. And he kept his servant from evil. That's referring to himself. Yes, Ra'ah's Novel, Isha Hashem Barosha. The evil of Novel he brought back into his heavy. Isha W. Dabra Avigail, Lakasu Lohisha. David Novel sent messengers, spoke to Avigail, and said, it's time for you to come to me, for me to take you as a wife. By Bo Avdi David Avigail, the Avdi David came to Avigail, Carmela to Carmel. By Dabra Ela Lamor, David Shlokhan. David is sent for us to take you as a woman. Now notice they said David, not Melech David. The reason why they didn't say the Melech is because they didn't want her to feel like she was forced to do so. This is up to her. If she wanted to come, she could come, but she was not being forced. So she got up, she bowed down to the face to the ground. Halavai that I could be a shifcha to wash the feet of my master. She quickly got up. Avigail. She rode on the donkey. 5 of her naros went after her. She went after the messengers of David, and she became his wife. Now, some say that the line of, where was it over here? Lekachtech lo leisha, both are rushetavis, lamed, lamed, and lamed. He waited altogether 3 months months in order to take her. He did not marry her immediately, but 30 days, 30 days, 30 days. And the reason why he waited 3 months is to make sure that if she was pregnant with child, people would know that it wasn't Neville's child, it was really Dovinamelech's child. Okay, so that's why he waited. He waited 3 months to make sure it was there. That's Achinoam Lakach Dov Yisrael. Achinoam, David taken, she was from the city of Yisrael. Both of them were his wives. And what that meant is that he treated them equally. He did not treat Abigail greater than Yisrael. He did not treat Yisrael greater than Abigail. In his mind, they were equal. Kilov was the child that was born over here. The reason why he's called Kilov is because he was Kulo Av. He looked exactly like his father. Why do you have to look exactly like his father? Because people suspected that he was really Neville's kid. His Shol Nathan is Michal Bito, which is Dovid Lepaltiv and Laish Shem Galim. Shol gave Michal, his daughter, the wife of Dovid Lepaltiv and Laish, from Galim. Okay, obviously he might have been angry that he heard that Dovid Melch was marrying other people, and maybe that's the reason why. Maybe he thought that the marriage was never valid because he was Mekadisher with 200 Orlas of the police, and maybe he felt that that wasn't a valid condition. Or maybe because he felt that since he was already married to Malchus, he's supposed to die, so therefore Dovid Melch is already there. Regardless, Palti ben Laish, she had never had relations with. He put a sword in the middle of the bed to make sure that nothing would happen, and that's why he's called Palti El. He was saved by God from sinning with her because she was such a married woman, something like that. Others say that because it was done from the king, then therefore, even though Palti did have relations with Michal, she was not usher to David HaMelech because she was forced to from the king Shaul HaMelech. Crazy, isn't it? So therefore, she was still mutter to David. Others say that Palti was an old man with a family of his own, and Michal was just sent there to live with him, but not that Palti ever married her. Palti never married her as a wife.
What's the translation of Abigail? Is there one?
My father rejoices. I mean, literally, that's what it means. My father rejoices. I don't know if that's the literal translation, though. Oh, here we go. Vaybo was Zifim al-Shol. Remember those Zifim? The Zifim come back. The Zifim that told on Dovid HaMelech before, they came back to Shol. Now, remember, the first time they did it, a crazy miracle happened, and a Malach came and told Shol, hey, the Plishtim are coming, the Plishtim are coming. And Shol and Melech ran away. You'd think the Zifim would learn the lesson, but they didn't. They came to Shol, Givasa, to Giva, Lamor. Hello, Dovid is at Terbi, Givasa, Chachila, Alpine Shimon. Dovid is hiding in the hill of Chachila, right by Yeshiva. Now this time they didn't give him as direct, you know, information. Because the last time they did that, right, things went awry, I should say. So this time they allowed it to be a little bit different, just no details were there, and that's that. Okay, now to go. Vayakum Shol Vayerid on Mibarzit. So Shol Melech got up, right, and he went down to Mibarzit. Vito Shol Shalom from Yeshiva Khori. So 3,000 young men, Levakim is Dovid Mibarzit, to search for Dovid Mibarzit. Vayikham Shol Begivet HaChachiva. He camped by Givet HaChachiva. Asher Opinay Yeshimon Al Dorach on the road. David Yoshev and Mibar. David was in the desert. Vayarkiva Shol Akhar of Mibar. He saw the messengers or whatever it is that Shol had come after him through the desert, and he was shocked. Shol already promised him that he wasn't going to come after him. So David was so upset. What happened all of a sudden? Yishal Dov Meraglim. He sent out spies to see if it was true that he really was trying to kill him. Vayeda Kiva Shol Nakon. He knew Shol Melech was coming to kill him over here. And once again, welcome David Yovel Amakom Shachanisham Shol. So David Melech had no fear. He got up and immediately went to the place where Shol was camped. And Abner ben Ner, his general, was there. Shol was sleeping in the middle of a circle. The Amkonim Svivosev and all the people were camped all around him. And he literally entered inside the middle of the camp without any problems. He walked right in. David HaMelech called out loud to Achimelech the Chiti, right? This is not Achimelech the Kohen Gadol. Right? Now, Abishai sent it to Uriah saying, "Me already tell Shol and Achimelech. Who's going to come with me to Shol into the middle of the camp?" I'll come with you. You came in the middle of the night. Your Shol was sleeping in the middle of a circle. His spear was stuck in the ground. Remember the spear? Remember that same spear that he threw at Dovid HaMelech when Dovid HaMelech was playing the music? There are shows right by his head. But Abner and Abner and all the people were lying all around him over there. Abishai said, "David, God has delivered on this day your enemy into your hands," he said. enemies, I'll kill him with the spear. And then it'll hit the land just once. I won't have to do it a second time. I'll kill him immediately. He won't feel the pain. He won't even wake up. He'll just be dead in his sleep. Why don't I do that? Said Abishai ben Tsruya. Do not hit him. Who's going to be able to put their hand upon the anointed one of God and be cleansed? As God lives, no one else will kill him except for God, or his time will come and he will die, or he'll die in war. But no one else should be able to do it. He knew through Nevuah, David, that it was going to be soon. He realized that it was coming up very, very soon. It could be also that Shmuel and Navi told David HaMelech he only has 4 months to live. That's a possibility as well. There are only 4 months left. The reason why he took an oath is because that's the way to knock down your Yetzirah. David HaMelech felt his Yetzirah cropping up within him, saying, come on! He's in your hands again! How many times does God have to put him inside your hands? Which he swore to his Yetzirah, I swear I will not kill him. I swear I will not kill him. And that's the way of a tzaddik, to swear on something to make sure he doesn't do anything bad. Chalila, God forbid that I should put my hand upon the anointed one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now take that spear that's right by his head and take the little flask of water and let us go. The hint was, number one, we all know, I mean the spear was specifically because that spear was thrown at me and you see that I was able to get it back. The water is because you have left us in the Midbar Shaul without any supplies or food. You have not helped us whatsoever, and look at what we've been able to do. Manasseh says, Shaul from the head of Shaul. And they went away. The Inroa, the Inyodea, the Inmakit. No one saw, no one knew, no one was awake. All of them were asleep because a deep slumber of HaKadosh Baruch Hu fell upon every single person in Shaul Melech's camp. What's up, Dave?
The last time David was in this position, he ended up making a mistake by cutting off the sisters.
Yeah.
So, why would he put himself in that position?
By taking something that belonged to him, he felt that there was still, he needed proof to show that he had actually been inside the camp. Avner already said, no, that piece of clothing that was cut off by a thorn bush. He already didn't believe that David HaMelech had cut it off. He wanted to show them, here I am. I was there, and yet I didn't kill. So Avner didn't have anything to say. This was definitely an abnormal slumber. There's no question about this whatsoever. Avner was sitting right by Shaul HaMelech with his leg outstretched right in front. They could not get past Avner. There was no way for them to get past Avner, and they knew that if they touched him, they would wake him up. So a bee came, something, and stung Avner in the leg. Said his leg moved so that they were able to get on by and go to Shaul HaMelech. That is the purpose of why there's such things as bees or flies or fleas or whatever it is that end up biting him. So David HaMelech had Akasha. Why are there spiders in the world? Now because of the spider web outside the cave, he knew. Why are there bees in the world? Now because of this, he understood why there had to be bees or a hornet. I'm pretty sure it's a hornet. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a hornet. I should have said a hornet in the beginning. Sira is the word that's used for it. And then he also had a kasha, why was there madness in the world? And he was by, remember what happened when he was by Achish, king of Gath? He pretended like he was a madman and was able to get out of it. All three were used. By Avor!
Just to quote what your dad says, yeah. You see that David told Avishai, go get the spear and water, and David ended up taking it himself. The Radak says that David realized right after he said it, Avishai just said, let's kill him. So David didn't want him to kill him. So
oh, very good. He made sure that he wouldn't have an excuse to kill him. You kill him. Oops! Yeah, I didn't mean to do that, but I just killed the king. So David crossed over the side, and then he went up to the top of the next mountain, Mirachok, Rabba Makamanan. There was a great separation between them. So he had enough time to move all the way out of the camp and go up another mountain by the time they all woke up. Climbed up to be able to go apart. He called out to the people of Avner ben Ner, and especially to Avner ben Ner, saying, Hello, Sana Avner, won't you answer me, Avner? Who are you to call out to the king? How dare you? Somebody who's so abnormal, because normally, even though he's calling out to Avner, you don't call out to the king directly. You call out to the general. And the general is as if you're talking to the king. He said, how dare you call out something like that? Aren't you a man? Is there no one like you in all of Israel? How could you not watch over your master, the king? One of the nation could have come to assassinate the king, your master. He said, I am calling you a man, he said, Abner, and I know you're a man, I know you're a tzaddik, but nonetheless, you deserve death for this. Lo tova dover azash rasisa. It's not good, the thing that you just did. You are a chayiv misa, lo shmartam al doneichem, because you did not watch over your master, on Mashiach Hashem, on the anointed one of God. That's a re'e. Tell me, please, where is the spear of the king? And where is that flask of water that was right by his head? Where is it, my friends? The Akar Shaul is called David. Shaul recognized the voice of David. Is that your voice, my son, David? David, it is my voice, my master, the king. Why are you chasing after me, gosh? Dang it. What have I done wrong? What have I done evil in your eyes? Shaul, come on. Listen, please, my master the king. As deeply after the words of his servants. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has instigated you against me, then let my mincha, my gift, be pleasing to him. In other words, if this is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I accept it. And let me dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it should be forgiven. Okay? Let that be the idea behind it. By the way, David HaMelech was always well known as the Yerach, as the moon. That's what it means. Yerach mincha. My gift is that I'm like the moon. I wax and I wane. There are times where I'm in charge. There are times where I go down. That's the idea behind it. But that is that. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, did you just call me an instigator? You just call me that? I'm going to make you forget a halakha that even school children know. And that's going to be taking the Aron Kodesh on a wagon from one city to another. By the way, if other people are cursed, are cursing me out with Hashem in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have driven me away from joining in the Nachal of Hashem. You have told me to go worship other gods. Now, obviously, David didn't worship other gods, but he held that if you leave Eretz Yisrael for any reason, it's Ki'il, you're Ovid Avodah Zarah. So because he had to go to Moab and Ammon and the Plishtim and all the different areas in order to escape from Shaul HaMelech, it's Ki'il, he is worshipping Avodah Zarah. So all these people are telling me that it's as if I'm worshipping Avodah Zarah.
David's crossing the line here.
Why? By saying what? By taking the God or Shaul? This is Shaul.
Oh, I'm sorry, Shaul.
Yeah, it's okay. He understood he's the king now. Now therefore, let not my blood be spilled to the ground in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The king is going out looking for a single flea, right? What? Just like they search for birds in the mountains, the same way that they hunt quails. It's like you're hunting for a little flea on your head, Shaul HaMelech. That's what I am to you right now. So stop it. Shaul said, I've sinned. This is the first time and last time that Shaul HaMelech ever admitted that he had done something wrong. Other times he said, I won't do it anymore. But he has never said the word Chatasi. Shuv b'ni David, return my son, David. I will not do evil to you anymore. Because my soul is so precious in your eyes. I have made very many mistakes. You know what? It's not true. He said Chatasu once before. After Amalek, he said it after Shaul HaMelech pressed him and pressed. As they're small enough, he pressed him and pressed him and pressed him. Finally, Shaul said Chatasu. It's a weird male noise. David said, take back your spear. And he sent one of his youths to go give it back to Hashem. May God give back to every man his righteousness and faithfulness as he has given on this day. Because I did not put my hand upon the anointed one of God. Just like your soul was so great to me on this day in front of my eyes. May God think of me the same way and save me from all of my tzaras. David, you are blessed, my son. You will do great things, and you will eventually prevail. He went on his way. The Shaul shall then come on. Shaul HaMelech went back to his place. Now that's that. This may have been the last time that David ever saw Shaul HaMelech. It certainly seems that way. Parak Chav Zayin.
The last time that Shaul is done with David at this point.
Yeah.
Shaul learned his lesson.
I think that's it. I don't think he comes up again. Remember David Olivo. Atah Sefer Yom Echad Yad Shaul. He said, you know what? One day I'm going to die at the hands of David HaMelech. Ein li tov ki mali de mali de la'aretz Plishtim. There's nothing better for me to do than run to the land of the Plishtim. Noash mi meni Shaul. Then Shaul will forget about me. Levak Sheni Odin, try to search for me again. Behold, will you solve? And Imati mi Yado, I'll escape from his hands. He said, I might as well run to the Plishtim. And that way I'll be able to get away from him. Nothing bad will happen to me. He was also a little afraid of all the miracles that Akash Baruch Hu had done for him. He's had a lot of nisim happen to him. He's afraid. That takes away from your merits. He doesn't want that to be, that he loses all of his merits because of it. But Yechem David Yabaruhu v'sheish meos ish shirimo. Don't not get up. He went with 600 men that were with him. Al Achish ben Ma'och Melagas. He went back to Achish. Remember Achish before? Wanted to kill him? Right? Ayeshiv David Ma'och v'gas. Hu ben Ashav Yishu Beiso. David Ushtei Nashav. So he went with his men. He went with their household. David and his two wives, Achinom, Israelis, and Abigail, Ishav, Nebel, Akamelis. He went with them. Now, why go now if Achish almost killed him before? The answer is, first time, right, he had gone by himself. Now, he was accompanied by his warriors and his fame. They're not going to fight him when he has 600 men with him. That's number one. Yeah. The old wife. That's one that's how she was known as. That is a good call, though. I don't know. Yeah. That is an interesting call. Number two, you know what? He might not be married to her yet. That's a possibility. Because he waited 3 months. He might not have been married to her yet. That's a good possibility. Number two, he now understood, right, that the only reason why he went, that he has to go to Achish, was to learn about madness. He's done with it so much. He wasn't worried about spying. He obviously brought his wives and his family. He had no evil intent or anything like that. And this time he asked for permission to come inside. He also was known to be Shaul HaMelech's enemy at this time. It also could be, it's not the same Achish. It's a different person altogether. Anyway, David, but you got to talk about David. Shaul was told that David HaMelech ran away Gath, to the land of Gath. Well, Yosef Od Levak, so he no longer went after him. But you're David Achish. And also says in Apple, that find David and I give me Malcolm Aksaria Sada, give me permission to live in one of the fields, the cities of the field. Let me live there. Why should I sit in the capital city with you? Why do I have to be together with you? He was given Siklag. Siklag was therefore for the kings of Judah, the city of Judah, up until even today. David didn't want to sit in a city of idolaters. Also, he wanted to show that he's not ready to rebel against Achish. There was a number of days that he was in the field of Plishtim. It was about a year and 4 months. Hard to understand that, because a year and 4 months would be way more than how long he should have been there for. But it could be Yomim is just days. By Yal David, David and his men went by Yishtua Geshuri, the Grizi, the Amaleki. They went out against all these other nations. The Geshuri, the Grizi, the Amaleki, Kihena Yoshvos, the Oretz Hashemi, Olam Boach Ashura, that Eretz Mitzrayim. They were all in the land in the south, right by the land of Egypt, and they were there. He went out and started defeating them all and taking all the riches.
On whose behalf?
For himself, and yet he sent a lot of stuff over to Achish. Show Achish that he's trying to fight him. Over here, by the way, here's Siklag. Over here, there's Gath. Right over there, okay? So that's how we're looking at it right over here. In Pasuk Tes, V'yishchapesh Shaul v'yobash v'gadim acherim. V'yishchapesh Shaul. V'yobash v'gadim acherim. That's weird. What? What do you guys have as Pasuk Tes? I think I'm missing a line.
V'hika David es ha'aretz eloi yafe ish v'isha.
Yeah, you know what? I'm missing a whole line over here. Missing an entire line. What do you got over here? The Yika David, as the Aretz, he destroyed the people in the land. He would not let live Ish v'Isha, no man nor woman, right? And he took sheep, cattle, donkeys, camels, and clothing. And he would come back to Achish. Okay, Vayomar Achish. Oh my gosh, I don't know what's going on over here.
Call the printer.
Yeah, I don't have it. Vayomar Achish al pshat etam hayom. Right? Achish said, where did you go today? Vayomar David al negev Yehuda val negev yarch me'eli val negev akeni. Oh, I went to negev Yehuda. I was fighting the Jews. I went to Yarch me'el. I went to the Keni. Keni is like Yisro. He would lie through his teeth and tell him that he was fighting the Jews. When really he didn't do that, he was fighting all the helpers of the Blizhim, which is why he didn't keep anyone alive. If he would have kept anyone alive,
then they would have reported
it back, and that would have been absolutely terrible. But this is a great trick. Let's finish off the Pesukim Yisha Lo Yichaya David Lahavi Gas Lemor. He didn't allow any man or woman to be alive to go back to Gas to save. And Yagidu Alenu Lemor Kosa David Chom Yishpatu Kol Yom Asher Yashu B'Sei Plishin. This is what David did, and this is what he had whenever he was sitting in the field of Plishin. But Ya'amein Akish B'David Lemor. The Akish believed David saying, Habeishiv Yishbamo Yisrael. He must despise the Jews now. V'ayilu Evid Lo'olam. He mamish thought that David was going to be his slave forever, and that everything was going to be his. That's that. Exactly. He was fooling them completely. That's the end of Parakov Zion. We'll stop with that.